Mike Buseglia here from SevillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to RunCast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of RunCast. Appreciate you listening in. Lot of stuff going on. A lot of really good stuff. A men's 4 mile over the weekend. Race I had the honor of helping to co-direct and been with it since day one. So this is our 7th edition. And oh my gosh, what a great move we made. It wasn't a move that I initiated. It was a move that a committee of folks got together. Bill Duxbury, Allison Holt over at Urology, Bill Steers at Urology, Jason Vigilante, some other folks said, you know, we need to revamp this event. 6 years into it, it's going nowhere size-wise. It's in the low 200s. It's in December. Lousy weather 2 years in a row for it. You know, cold, rainy, snowy, actually, 1 year. No award ceremony at the end because the weather's so bad. So, and 60 guys in the training program, 50 guys in the training program leading up to it in the fall. Just all around. Beautiful course out in Free Union, but kind of away from the you know, hustle and bustle of the city, kind of not quite as sexy a course. So a lot of work went into it. We secured the first goal was to get Scott Stadium to finish inside. UVA was really gracious in allowing us for that to happen. Several people of consequence over in the University Athletic Department gave the thumbs up, and we're really grateful. And then we moved it to Father's Day. Great concept, as it turns out. We had a tremendous turnout on Sunday. We had double the number we've ever had before. We almost hit the 500 mark, the magical 500 mark. You get 500 guys together to do something that's exercise-oriented, cardio-wise, pretty neat stuff. Yeah. You get women to do it. I mean, getting guys, it's a little harder task these days. I don't know what the whole gig is with it. I'm not a sociologist. Got my own opinions about things, obviously. But who knows? But anyway, we got almost 500 guys. That's tremendous. And the father-son turnout was the really neat thing. We had 42 father-son teams. A lot of fathers had two sons. So we had over 100 guys just in the father-son category. And that was really neat with Rick and David Kwiatkowski taking the blue ribbon in that with the Wolanskis, Matt and Tom. Not far behind, actually. And then you had another 40 teams after that. It was great. Thomas Adam out-leaned, basically, out-sprinted Chris Post, his teammate, their RMR guys, by 1 second, 20:37. So that's a new course record. It was cool. They came into the tunnel, the visitor side there, and finished on the 50-yard line. The field is looking good, nice and plush. And we had it set up so that the spectators were in the stands so we didn't break down the field.
Right.
And the Jumbotron was up. That was the neatest part.
That's a big screen,
yeah,
too. That's
a big
beauty.
Screen. Yeah, so it was really neat. We had about 75 race day volunteers, big call out to Carol Finch, Dave Murphy, and the track club folks, and then all the urology people that helped. John Friedman actually worked the website. You know, this is all volunteer stuff, and kudos to Bill Steers and Allison Holt over at Urology. We raised a ton of money for prostate cancer programs. The Resnick family, Colt and Mike and Matt, with Father Matt, Mike, they were the winning team on the family side. George Rich's anesthesiology gang. That's a tough team to beat, with Bob Thiele, who finished third overall, as one of their residents over there. They kicked some butt. They outbeat all of the other health science teams, the teams from the hospital. Masters was taken by the Saturday morning crew, a bunch of buddies of mine, Jim Bell and Paul Fair and Bill Grant, Roland Stanton, a bunch of guys, good buddies of mine. Been running with them, used to run with them every week years ago. They took the Masters. They outkicked the Boston Masters team. And then they're local guys, but they call themselves Boston because they train for the Boston Marathon. And then the Ragamount Racing guys took the open team division. It was just a really great feeling. Got to tell you, being down there on the playing field level and seeing these guys coming in, you could tell that a good percentage of them really appreciate it. So that was great. In the middle of nationals right now as we speak, the national championship, and this is the USA track and field championship. So it's bigger than NCAA's. It's the best from NCAA's and the best Olympians, and U.S. guys heading to the Olympics for next year, contending for the Olympics. They're all there in Eugene, Oregon. And we had a half dozen or so UVA athletes out there, and we got a couple that made it out of their heats. Robbie Andrews, Lance Roller made it out of the heat in the 800. Pretty impressive. And then Stephanie Garcia hadn't raced yet as we went to air here, so she's almost a lock to make it to the finals. Pretty neat. She was runner-up in NCAAs. And then a Michael Hammond from Virginia Tech. Call out to him. He was sixth fastest in the 1500 heat, so he's on to the finals. And then Donnie Coward, our Ragamount Racing star, one of our stars, he did quite well in the steeple, so he's on to the finals in the steeplechase. Macklin Chafee is one of his teammates. Didn't have his best day and didn't make it out, but he's had a great season. Nicole Kelleher, one of our RMR female athletes, she is the second-ranked triathlete in the United States. She's quite the runner, quite the athlete. She's a med student at UVA. She's now currently ranked second, like I said, in the United States in the triathlon. And she's got Philadelphia Triathlon this weekend. She has one every weekend. She's on this series, and they get points. It's a professional circuit, so you're earning money as you go. So really impressive stuff. Andrew Zapanta, one of my favorite athletes I coach. I've coached him for almost a decade. He's run almost 20 marathons. He's been really struggled over the years to try and break 3 hours and 50 minutes, which is still a good time, but he's always had this goal. He's shown great potential of being able to run faster. Had a great spring, had a great 10-miler, had a great park-to-park half marathon. I said, Andrew, come on, you can do this. You can get under, I don't want to get under 350. Let's get under 340. Let's go out and relax and really show off your fitness level. And so he went out to Grandma's, which is in Duluth, Minnesota. It's a very prestigious prize money race. Not that he's going for prize money. It was a nice cool day, overcast. Flat course, he took advantage of it, ran 334. So that's one of the biggest single race jumps I've ever seen an experienced marathoner run, ever. Mike, if you were to run your first marathon, let's say you run 4 hours and 24 minutes.
Right.
It's very conceivable the next one you drop down to 4:08 or something.
Right.
Kenny Ball, he ran 4:02, 4:01 his first marathon. Next one, he's 3:31. It's a 30-minute drop. He said, wow, but to drop another 30 minutes, not only when you're getting faster, but the more experience you get, it's very hard. So congratulations to him.
It's impressive.
He's a really a fine guy, and I love cheering for him, and this was a great day for him. And one of his training partners, TJ Wilson, he's ran a 4-minute, 5-minute PR. He ran 3:49. Congrats to him at the same event. And then Glenn Anderson, I think it's number 40. He was with them, 40 states. This time he ticked off Minnesota, checked the box. So, you know, he's 40 states into. He's turning the bend here.
Probably the good time to go to Minnesota, I guess around now when it's not.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't go there in the fall and the winter. It'd be,
and they picked
be brutal.
Some years this Grandma's is very hot, and this year it wasn't, so they lucked out.
Good.
Lori Wilson and John Steele also at that race had good efforts, locals. Andrea Wright, probably one of the best Masters runners in the United States, just went into the Grandmasters category. She turned 50 on Saturday, and so she decided to celebrate her 50th birthday. She and her husband took a little trip out to Clarksburg, West Virginia, pretty prestigious 10K race, Clarksburg 10K, and she not only won the Grandmasters, 50 and over, but she was the fastest time 40 and over. That's how good she is. So congrats to her, and we'll be talking a lot more about her over the coming year or so. I suspect as she starts to make some noise in this age group. Some locals, Will Ryan, he's a rising ninth grader at Western. He just graduated from Henley. Hmm. I think it's his first 5K race he ever ran. It's called the Rockport Father's Day 5K. It's up in Massachusetts. His family is vacationing up there, and he and his dad, Jim, who's a law professor and a 255 marathoner, which to mention, they decide to jump in together, and Will finishes second overall, not second in his age group, second out of, I think there's probably 150, 200 people in the race.
Wow.
Not a huge race, but he ran 1924. That's a huge deal. That's a legit time. His dad was right alongside him, 1925. So, congrats to Will. And,
wow.
That's pretty impressive stuff. And, kind of piggybacking on the kids, I just always warn parents, this is a good age for a young person to start getting involved with running of that distance, 5K. But you're getting down in the younger age groups, 7, 8-year-olds, got to be really careful with it. And someone who gets this right, always have this getting it right section of the run cast. Ron Green, he's a coach over at Charlottesville High School, but he also is a PE teacher at Greenbrier. And he really into fitness and particularly into running. They have a track over there that I actually helped them lay out several years ago, design it. And it's nice. It's a soft surface, 5 laps to the mile track over at Greenbrier. And he's got three young kids. They're fourth graders, three young kids in his PE class, Adam Moreland, Isaac Vick, and Jay Drake. And they did something amazing recently. They fastest fourth graders ever in the school history. And he does a legitimate mile. Sometimes PE teachers will say, yeah, our kids ran the mile in PE class, and you find out later on the mile course was short, which is fine.
Right.
But, you know, it's nice to get the kids engaged in what the real time is so they don't have these false expectations. They go into high school and said, yeah, I ran a 5:10 mile when I was in fifth grade.
Right.
And now I can't barely break 6. And he said, well, that really wasn't a mile. And this is no shout-out slight to PE teachers. That's just that Ron Green really nails this right. And so Jay and Isaac ran 5:57, and Adam ran 5:50. Pretty impressive.
That's unbelievable.
I know the kids. Some of them, anyway, Jay, I know personally, and I know his mom and dad, and they're the type of parents perfect for this. I got a talented kid, but they're not going to say, oh, my gosh, we got a real talent here. Do you think he can get a scholarship to college if we trained him? It's fourth grade. He's 9, 10 years old. That's, come on. And they're not like that at all. They're letting them do other sports, encouraging them. You know, I tell parents at that age, get your kids engaged in as many things as possible. Teach, have them learn the basics, tennis, golf, swimming, basketball.
Be athletic.
Be athletic. Running is a redundant, quite boring sport for a youngster if somebody begins to train him. At that age, you know, and you begin to time yourself, and before you know it, you're not beating your time anymore. Now you're starting to get frustrated. You could have some physical issues with growth plate. So I warn parents about this to just, you know, and I was talking to Lisa Drake yesterday about it, and she's just totally got it together on it that, you know, the talent's there, I told her. It's always going to be there. The question is, what you do with the talent at this point, are you going to squelch it? Are you going to have the kid, you know, have these small little, you know, spikes of enthusiasm and keep him just stimulated enough that maybe he takes up running in high school or later on even?
I'll tell you, I do remember being in elementary school and we would have the physical fitness test, and part of it was the mile run, and they would put orange cones out in the back of the school where like the baseball and the playground was. And I even as a little kid, I thought to myself, I wonder how he got this perfect. How is this really a mile? So when you said that, it just jogged that memory back.
You should always be
head.
Suspicious of something that looks perfect in that it works perfectly in a field, because most fields are not a quarter mile.
Right.
So if you do the four corners of a field, it better be 5 laps or even 6 laps. But anyway, who knows?
Yeah.
But I am really proud of these kids, and they're in good hands with Ron Green. Joel Hess, another person who's getting it right. He's one of Dr. Wilder's residents, wonderful guy. He's on our RMR team, works a musculoskeletal guy, and he got hit by a car earlier this spring. He was riding his bike into work and being very careful. Car came out of nowhere, and when anybody's fault, particular sun in the driver's eyes type thing, he had, you know, broke some bones, didn't hit his head, thank goodness, had his helmet on. Well, he did hit his head, but he has helmet on, which is really, you talk about getting it right.
Yeah.
But anyway, Joel listened to Dr. Wilder and everybody else that was advising him. He took the right amount of time to heal. He didn't try and cheat. He did all the physical therapy. He came back gently. We had a workout this morning, his first workout back with the team. He actually ran back with the girls, and no slight to the girls, but Joel is one of the faster guys in town. He runs with the guys on the RMR team. Today he ran back with the girls to ease himself in, and even that he cut short. He said, just want to get myself, my feet on the ground, ease into this properly. I think, Joel, you know, good for you. I'm going to call you out on the podcast. It's a way to do it.
Very cool.
You can get in real trouble if you come back too quickly off of an injury. And recovery is a really essential part of running. I want to talk about it very briefly here. You recover after a hard run. So if you, like a run today, these guys ran pretty hard, they're gonna take it easy the next 2 days. Somebody like you, Mike, or myself, if we run hard on Monday, we're probably not going to run hard again until Thursday or Friday. So that's one way of recovering. And how you recover, you either get in the pool and do some running in the pool, a stationary bike, or you go for a shorter, slower run. That's a recovery run. And you're doing things like stretching and rolling and icing and making sure your electrolytes are replaced and eating properly. All of that, sleep, all that's part of recovery. After a race, I'm very troubled with the state of affairs nationally and somewhat locally here, with a number of people that run a race one weekend and run a race the following weekend. And not 5K races either. You know, they run the 10-miler, then they run the half marathon. They run a half marathon, then they run another half marathon. It's like, where are you going with this? It's very short-sighted mentality because it's cumulative. Eventually, you begin to get tired, fatigue, your racing starts to slow down, and then you start to have injury problems. Before you know it, you're not enjoying your run anymore. There's recovery after a series of weeks of training. So if you're training for a marathon, Mike, if I was coaching, you'd see that you'll go, you'll build for 3 or 4 weeks, go pretty hard, and then you have a recovery week. So you have a full week of recovery where your mileage drops from, let's say you're running 40 miles a week, and we drop you down to 25 for a week. Let your body catch back up. So that's another form of recovery. And then one of the bigger forms of recovery is after a season. So high schoolers in particular, college kids, or even marathoners. If somebody trained hard all winter for the Boston Marathon, that season is then over once they run the Boston Marathon. In the case of high school kids right now, their track season's over. More importantly, their whole year is over.
Right.
So little running, never go cold turkey, but drop the mileage back after the 10-miler for you. That was your season. That was a big deal. Ran the 10-miler. You drop your training back down.
Right.
Still keep the engine percolating, but physically and mentally give a chance, self a chance to heal. I know for some folks listening, you're probably saying, yeah, I hear this over and over again. It's, you know, cliche, it's redundant, Mark, come on. But it really is the essence of lifelong running, is to make sure you're recovering from single runs, from races, from weeks training in a train, and then from seasons. It's very important. So these RMR guys, they've all been in recovery the last 6, 8, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, some of them longer, wow. Meaning they've been just slowly building the mileage back up from. After the marathon, they'll go down to maybe 15 miles a week, 10 miles a week, and then they work their way back up to their 90 to 120 miles a week, whatever they're doing, because these are pros. So today, there was just one more step. We did a really short workout, making sure the recovery continues. Let's see. Volunteer of the week. Definitely had a lot of great help in the men's 4-miler. And one that just stuck out was Linda Scandor. We had a kind of a little bit of a hiccup at registration and packet pickup. We didn't have a packet pickup the night before. We didn't think the race was going to be that big.
Right.
So race morning is a little bit of a hiccup. There's a long, long line there. We're past 30 minutes to race time. People are getting, no one's angry, but you can tell people are getting a little anxious. Come on. So I told Linda, I was over there meeting the volunteers, and I said, Linda, go over there and get that line moving.
Hmm.
Break it up. Get it into threes. Cynthia's over at the other end. Come on. Use that good teaching voice of yours. Linda Scandor is a school teacher. Very assertive.
Yeah.
She's the 60-year-old that ran just a little over 4:01 at Boston, 22nd in her age group. I could hear her off over in the stadium mezzanine area. Guys, A through whatever, you're here.
And right.
Whatever letter they wrote. That's great. And then, of course, she helped me out on the course also. She was double duty and so great.
And I can tell you just from going to races, I think people really do appreciate somebody that does that and helps them along, because sometimes you see people and they're, I guess they're like a little spaced out, or they don't know where they're walking. I think that's great. That makes a huge difference for people.
I always get a little frustrated with some folks. I'll overhear them saying, gee, that person's kind of being a jerk, or they're a little uptight, and I'm thinking they're trying to help.
Right.
They're trying to help make your experience better.
Yeah,
don't be
exactly.
So thin-skinned. Listen to what they're saying. They're frustrated because they're, you know, we see 30 minutes to race time, a line that's 40 minutes long.
Exactly.
You know, come on. So I say, you know, be a little more forgiving of us. Well, every once in a while I hear someone off to the side saying about me, I'll hear them say, you know, what an ass or what a jerk. That guy's really uptight. And I'm thinking, you bet I'm uptight. I'm trying to help you guys have an experience
here,
that's organized. So,
sure. You don't want to show
up entertaining 500 people with roads, police, stadium.
On.
You know, I mean, I'm anxious. So. Anyway, coaches of the week, I want to call out all our CTC captains who helped with the men's 4-mile training program. Bill Duxbury was the head captain. We just had some wonderful help from these guys. I know I'm going to leave some off, but just real briefly, Jamie Collins and Bob Stokes, Harold Workman and Manoj Patel, and a bunch of guys that helped Bill Blodgett week in, week out with helping these new guys get off their backsides and start running. We had a bunch of new guys finish the 4-mile. They had never been running before as of March, and they ran 4 miles.
That's wonderful.
Not terribly fast, some of them, but doggone it.
They
got one foot in front of another. They've lost weight. A lot of them lost 25, 30 pounds in 3 months.
Wow.
It's yeah, a lot of them.
That's great.
And we had over 100 guys in the training program this spring. We doubled those numbers there too. So.
And I wasn't there to watch them finish, but I could only imagine – just the excitement and the adrenaline rush they got from finishing, knowing that a few months back they could not do this. They lost all this weight, and the gratification they took internally from doing that must have been tremendous.
The key now is to keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, not fall off the wagon. So you've put all this work in to get to this point. Big news in around the world actually affects our community. So I always have this little section, not always, but every once in a while I'll put in here, news, running news around the world. Well, a shot heard around the world that we're very intimately involved with is that Alan and Julia Webb are moving to Charlottesville. Mm. Alan Webb, the top ranked, top is he has the fastest mile times history for a U.S. runner. He was the kid that when he was a kid, he was a senior in high school. He broke the 4-minute mile. A 4-minute mile had not been broken since Lyndon Baines Johnson was in the White House, and this was in 2001, 2002 that he did that. He went on to make the Olympic team in 2004. Just a swell guy, really. I mean, approachable, nice sense of humor, and he's had a few hiccups along the way. He didn't make the 2008 team, and he really wants to get back to the 2012 level, so he's in town training. I believe Jason is going to coach him, and he and his wife's really swell. She actually worked for us for when she was living in Charlottesville a while back. So we're really happy to have him here. Very cool. And he's a very grounded celebrity, so to speak, and a very talented guy. Like I said, one of the – well, he was number one ranked miler in the world in 2007.
Pretty good.
And he's here in Charlottesville. So we'll be seeing him around and look forward to everyone getting to know him a little bit better. He's he loves the sport. He loves runners. He embraces it. So we're looking forward to having a class act like him in town. Local running history trivia. I asked last time who were the track coaches after Lou Honesty died suddenly, tragically, in 1978. Lost a great university citizen. And Lou Honesty, leading up to Jason Vigilante being the current head track coach. Who were they? I don't think anybody called in on this, but it's Dennis Craddock. Stepped in for Lou Honesty. He had been the Albemarle coach, and he had got an assistant job. He'd been assistant at UVA for very short period of time. Suddenly he's the head guy. Then a guy named Doug Williamson. He was here very, very briefly, about a year, year and a half, 2 years. Then Fred Bingley stepped in, head track and field coach. Then Randy Bungard. Then Randy Bungard stepped down, and in came Jason Vigilante, our current coach. So that's kind of a history of it.
Very cool.
Men's 4-miler. We just talked about Thomas Adam eking out Chris Post for the win. Who was the first champion in the inaugural men's 4-miler, who is it? I'll give you a hint. He ran for Virginia. He actually married one of my employees. And he now teaches down in Williamsburg and coaches coaches a cross-country and track program down there. So that's your hint. Upcoming, we've got the women's 4-miler race. The race itself, this Saturday, the entries open. That's 6 o'clock in the morning. Women's 4, as in the numeral 4, miler.com. Women's4miler.com. Get on there. It usually closes in about 36 hours, 3,500 women. So get your entries in, ladies, and please give extra. Go out and raise dollars. We want to smash through that $335,000 we raised last year. It starts this Saturday morning, the 25th. Also on the 25th, we kick off physically the first run for the marathon, CDC, Charlottesville Track Club Marathon, Half Marathon Training Program. That's out in Whitehall, Whitehall Vineyards. If you haven't already signed up, go to charlottesvilletrackclub.org. And you can participate if you want to train for any long-distance event in the fall. Come join us. Sunday's the first of the series. Charlottesville Tri Club puts on. It's a sprint triathlon, meaning about a little less than a half-mile swim. It's about quarter-mile swim, 10K run. 5K run is at the end. And the bike, I think, is like maybe 12, 15 miles. I'm bad with this, but finish with a 5K run. It's all down at beautiful Walnut Creek Park. There are sign-ups still available. We have the packet pickup at the shop on Saturday, and you can sign up then. Get the earlier the better. So I think they open packet pickup at 11 o'clock. So that's on Sunday is the event. Packet pickup's on Saturday the 25th. And then 4th of July 5K, the Kiwanis Independence Day 5K is coming up on the 4th of July. That's great. Charlottesville Track Club had another really successful all-comers meet last night. That was fun. They got one more left. That's on the 7th of July. That's Rick Kutowski and the Smiths, Dave Murphy, putting on a really great job. And our best wishes to Carol Finch, who's had a little bit of a hiccup this week with a small illness, and we're put her back in the hospital, and we're wishing her the best. Carol is such a big help with so many track club events, running events. Our runners of the week, Of course, this is we're going to air before the national championship, so I suspect we'll have some really incredible stories, hopefully, to talk about. Successes from over the weekend. The finals for most of the races are on Saturday and Sunday out in Eugene. My son Adrian and my daughter Audrey are actually driving up the coast. They're taking a vacation. My kids have grown up. They flew out to San Francisco, the two of them, and a couple days in San Francisco, then Sonoma, then up in the Redwoods, and they're working their way up there in Eugene now.
Wow!
As we speak, and they're going to get to watch the national.
Sounds like a great vacation.
Cool. They set the whole thing up, and then they're going to work their way up. Oh, they've been doing Route 1 all the way along the
beautiful
coast.
Beautiful drive.
Absolutely beautiful. And they're going to fly out of Portland. My own kids. You know, I was thinking, gosh, the last time we did something like that, I was driving the car and paying attention to everything and renting the car and filling the gas up and, you know, worrying about where we were going with Cynthia and I reading the map. And
you're right.
So good for them. Runners of the week, anyway, I'm going to go with our A's, Andrew Zapanta, on that huge 16-minute PR. And then Andrea Wright with opening up her debut. I'm sure this is just one of many wins for her in the 50 and over. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you next week. Stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.